At this time, I would like to call this meeting to order, the Cheney County Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments. And Mr. Ashley, would you give us the roll call?
Okay. Dave Clementson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Tony Mullen.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Present.
And David Nelson.
Present.
We have established a quorum.
All right. And would you give us the explanation of the public hearing procedures?
I'd like to welcome you this evening to the April 17th, 2013 Board of Adjustment public hearing being held in order to hear an appeal and a variance request. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held on each request, which is filed with the Planning Department. I'd like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws is Exhibit D for the cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each variance and appeal request will be read, followed by a video and any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment upon either of the two applications this evening, you need to sign up at the front of the room. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a request must be sworn in and will be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. And David, would you like to read us governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and its duty shall be to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. 2, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Where, by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or any other extraordinary exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under Section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property, as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege, to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations map.
And the last one.
In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from, and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you. And our first case tonight is in a first appeal. Richard Jackson is the applicant. Give us a staff report.
Okay. This is case number 2013-1A. The project is an appeal of the Planning Commission approval of the Crawford's Towing expansion. The applicant is Richard Jackson. The subject property is located in the 100 block of Calvin Drive, Branson, Missouri, off of Bee Creek Road, as indicated here. It's in the Branson Township, Section 16, Township 23, Range 21. And got just a little closer view of the property here. The request, the applicant, Richard Jackson, is seeking to appeal the Planning Commission approval of Division 3 Permit Number 2012-22, allowing for the expansion of the existing Crawford's Towing business onto the adjoining property located in the 100 block of Calvin Drive, Branson, Missouri. The existing towing business is actually located here, and of course this is the subject property. The subject property is approximately 1600 square is an approximately 1600 square foot vacant parcel property described as a portion of plot 6 and plot and 7 of the Arthur Hall subdivision. The property had previously been occupied by a single family residence addressed as at 168 Calvin Drive. The home burnt in July of 2008, according to the assessor's information. On December 17, 2012, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit Number 2012-22, basically allowing for the expansion of the existing Crawford's Towing business onto this adjoining property. The towing business is actually, it's a little difficult to see on this, but it's actually this parcel here and instead of this one. So, upon the approval of the Division 3 permit, the representatives, John and Catherine Anderson, the owners of Crawford's Towing, purchased the 1,600 square foot parcel of land, which they plan to utilize as parking for the existing business located at 1919 Bee Creek Road. Basically, as stated earlier, the Division 3 permit allows for the expansion of the towing business onto the parcel in question. Mr. and Mrs. Anderson have indicated that that parcel of property will be utilized primarily as a parking area for both employees and customers. The adjoining property immediately to the north, south, and west is residential. The adjoining property immediately to the east is commercial. And we've just put together a couple of views of the property. Again, this is the existing towing business, and then this is the parcel in question. And just a south view, east and west. In review, again, the applicant, Richard Jackson, is seeking to appeal the decision of the Planning Commission to approve Division 3 Permit 2012-22, allowing for the expansion of the existing Crawford's Towing business. The applicant believes that the expansion of Crawford's Towing will have a deteriorating economic impact on the adjoining properties within the Arthur Hall subdivision. Mr. Jackson has further indicated that this change of use will negatively impact both the three adjoining properties as well as lowering the overall assessed property values for all nine single-family homes within the subdivision. As a part of the Division 3 approval process, the project received a score of negative 22 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 11. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, emergency water supply, use compatibility, and outdoor equipment storage. The Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2012-22 by a vote of 5 in favor and 1 against, with a total of 6 conditions based upon the belief that this proposed development would comply with the absolute and relative policies of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The conditions were placed upon this permit in order to mitigate the concerns of the neighboring property owners and also to ensure compliance with the absolute and relative policies of the Guidance Code. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal request, the Planning Commission approval of the decision of record for Division 3 permit, and I think I've got the wrong number there, actually, 2012-22, shall be reversed and shall be considered null and void. The following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Basically, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've put together just a really brief video of the property. This This is, again, the property in question, and this is the existing towing business. And we've just done a quick 360 of the neighboring area.
Thank you. Would those that were be speaking tonight please rise and I'll swear you in?
From both sides or just one?
Whoever is speaking on this case.
Okay.
Please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Mr. Jackson, you have the floor.
Thanks.
Come to the podium and spell your last name for the record.
My last name is Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
All right.
Could it be possible that that could be blown up a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
To indicate price?
Or the, okay, the other direction, sorry.
This corner, that corner. Just to show that we have, not nine, but there's 10 homeowners in that area. As I stated, the basis of this appeal is a future deteriorating economic effect that the towing service will have on the 10 residential property owners in that small closed area. Plans are for a wooden fence, a box, at the entrance of that subdivision, at least 6 foot tall with razor wire around it. My first understanding, it was going to be planned to use, they were going to keep their tow trucks back there, damaged trucks, wrecked salvage, customers' cars, or employees' cars. This will have a positive effect on Crawford's towing business. But, sirs, on the 10 residential homeowners in that area, it will have a deteriorating, a negative effect on each one of them. The properties, in my opinion, and I have facts to back up my opinion, but the market value of each one of those 10 individual properties is going to be reduced. And in my case, my family's savings is going to be lost, substantially lost, if Crawford's Towing is allowed to expand into that residential community. Now, to back my facts up, or to prove that it's going to hurt the market value, I understand this property has been on the market since 8. That's 5 years. 5 years, and it couldn't be sold. It's sitting next, I hate to say this, but it's sitting next to Crawford's. And it hasn't sold for 5 years. And I think if that property gets a fence around it, it's going to make these properties null and void. I have known Crawford's Automotive for some time, and I have not don't have a grudge against them at all. Mr. Anderson, is it Anderson?
If you speak to us, please.
I'm sorry, sir. I apologize. I know Mr. Anderson very little. I knew Crawford very well. I don't have a grudge against anyone there, but it is going to substantially hurt our property values. That's about all I've got.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Jackson? Mark?
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, sir.
As I understand what's before us today, there's maybe a couple reasons we can hear an appeal or grant an appeal. One would be an error of law. So my question to you in that respect, do you see an error of law in the decision that was made by the Planning Commission or a misapplication of the law by the administration?
I am not an attorney. I'm just a truck driver. I cannot tell you how the law is is written in this case. I feel that there wasn't enough explanation given to the Planning Commission to make a fair judgment. That's what I'm basing it on, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else? Tom? David? Tony? Do you have any basic facts that would indicate what property values would be devalued based upon other properties that have been sold or in the Tane County area?
The only way you can establish market is for selling property. And I know there's been two other properties in that area that have tried to sell over the last few years that haven't. And that subject property has been on the market for 5 years. And it has not sold.
Do you think the economy might have had something to do with the fact that property sat there so long?
I think a number of factors. But I believe Crawford's Towing is a factor too, sir, as well as the general economic outlook of the area.
So you don't believe a fence, 1,600 square foot lots, that's, in my opinion, that's what's kept it from selling because it's not hardly big enough to build anything on.
It says 16,000.
I'm sorry.
Oh, 16.
Okay. I'm sorry, sir.
I'm sorry.
But, well, that's a little different. Than, I think 16,000
well, it's not being used as a building lot. It won't be used as a building lot. It'll be used to fence. And coming in that area, if you've driven in this area and just take a look. This is a nice wide open area in here. And to have a 6 to 7 foot fence in there, I think it's going to keep people away from coming in there.
And whereabouts is your property, Mr. Jackson?
This is my home, sir.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Francis Jackson. Okay. John Anderson.
I'm the owner of Crawford's Towing, and this ain't worked. In my aspect, my ideas of the property value, I don't see how it's going to change any difference in property value for the pure simple fact is there is commercial here, here. All this is commercial all the way down through here. This was a writ has actually been changed from commercial back to residential recently. And then these two here that were that are commercial properties. Not to mention this whole entire property of the Arthur Hall subdivision was originally a farm with this building being the original structure on that farm being a horse barn. It was turned into Crawford's Towing in, I believe, the very early 80s, which would make it the first structure, plus was a commercial building before any of these homes were ever built. Not to mention, it is also both these pieces of property mine, which is this oblong, strange-looking shaped property here, which is extremely confined, and I don't have any room to grow for my business. Both these pieces of property here are a portion of the Arthur Hall. They're one and two, as far as I know it. I know it's at least one. I believe it's one and two. I think it's divided down the middle originally. So, as far as I see, the property values aren't going to change, especially being as this is a grown-up, deteriorated lot with dead trees laying in it now. That can't be bringing much property value to these folks' homes. A fence through there would look a lot better, I would expect, than a nice wooden fence would look a lot better through there than what it is right now. not to mention who really wants to look at all these cars that are open to view also at this moment. There's another thing I wanted to say, but I can't remember right now. But and as far as I knew, that this had already been completely gone over in the first meeting, and I was under the impression that this was over legal issues, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
But, thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I do.
David?
Is the fence going to match the existing fence up there on the, what is it, north end of the property that goes along by the Kingdom Hall there?
Yes, sir. I put a new fence in here.
Yeah.
And that, the Kingdom Hall and I both wanted to put up a fence. I was going to put up a fence anyway. Once they saw me putting up the fence, they liked the look of it. They decided to put up one also.
Fence. Yeah.
Yeah. So we matched that together, and that's what I would like. Now the fence that has ran through there has the razor wire on it. I don't like the razor wire. I have a couple strands of barbed wire over the top, but it looks a lot cleaner and more presentable than the razor wire
so
does.
That's going to go away, and you're going to continue that fence?
Yes, sir. From this portion right here, as you can see how the fences change.
Yeah.
From here to the right-hand side, all that will be completely taken out, and then the fence will be matching all the way around the whole property.
Where are you going to put the access to go back to the...
Okay, yeah.
Where are you going to put the access back there to coming off of... your existing parking lot?
Well, the main access would be right from this point to this point.
Okay.
All that is going to be taken out, and we'll be driving in off the main road into over here.
So
now,
it's going to be along the, okay, where you showed
road.
Yeah, okay, from there, no, okay,
oh,
from, go down, that point south, is that wooden fence?
All the way to that point's wooden fence, and then there's chain link across here on the back side.
Yes, so sir. When you're turning in off the road, you're going to see the fence right there, right?
Off of
Bee Creek. Of
Bee Creek up here?
Yeah, when they're turning into their subdivision, they're going to see a wooden fence.
Well, they don't turn in here.
No, I'm talking here.
You're talking about off of...
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
Coming in on Calvin's.
Pulling in on Calvin, yeah.
Little starter park, that's going to be the same fence as you've got going around.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right up through here. And the other thing I wanted to actually say, if I may, the reason why the land didn't sell, or, well, multiple reasons, economy is one of them for sure, but the gentleman that owned this previously wanted... $60,000 for the piece of property, or $50,000, I believe it was, for the piece of property, which is completely outrageous. I mean, no 16,000 square foot lot in this area is going to bring $50,000. I mean, it's not lake access. So that's why it didn't sell, and he actually lost it through tax sale, and that's how Mr. Paul Simon acquired the land, and it has sat vacant, and has not even been on the market for the last 3 years because he actually got it through the tax sale and has been sitting on it for his retirement funds. And knowing that it was the only adjoining piece of land that we had an option to purchase, I then contacted him and we went from there.
Who owns the property in front there that's in the green?
This here?
Uh-huh.
That is still owned by Crawford or Bruce Crawford. It is still Crawford's Automotive, but he had sold the business and to a gentleman named Lige Kennedy. We don't have any connection.
So you got that's actually two separate entities.
Yes, sir.
This
line coming in through here, this very odd shaped line. We have that because of the 10-foot easement, you know, from the corner of the building. It was 10-foot from here, 10-foot from here, which gave it this really strange, odd-looking shape to it. And so as far as I have, this picture here was taken when we were obviously not busy at that time because I just don't have any room. I mean, we're filling this lot all the way up to the front, moving five cars to get to one customer's vehicle. I mean, I have absolutely no room. And to buy a piece of property miles away and expect to be able to drive back and forth and deal with customers, and I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. So, I mean, this would make a lot more sense to have it on property, everything all in one area.
Okay. Any further questions? Mark?
Have you closed on the property?
Yes, sir. I've already purchased the property and are planning to start on the fence this summer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll close the public portion of this meeting and let the board have their conversations or discussions and make a motion.
I don't see any mistakes that P&Z made on their approval. I see no reason to grant the appeal.
I would agree, Mr. Chairman. I have empathy for the neighbors. I'm glad he didn't like the razor wire. That might be a nice touch not to do that, but I see no reason to grant the appeal. It's no error of law.
Then would you like to make a motion? Or
I would make a motion to deny the appeal request.
I'll second it.
All right. Have a motion made and seconded to deny the appeal request. Any further discussion? I'll call for the vote. Mark, how would you vote?
To deny.
David?
To deny.
Tom?
To deny.
Tony?
Deny.
And Chairman, likewise. So we have a 5-0 in denial. Mr. Jackson, you do have a recourse there. If you want to go on to the circuit court, you may do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Next case is TriSun Properties, LLC.
Okay, this is case number 2013-2V. The applicant is TriSun's Properties, LLC, Steve Creedon. The location of this property, the subject property, is the Oak Brook Estate Subdivision Phase 3, and also the remaining meets and bounds described property to be platted as future phases of Oak Brook Estates, served by the Oak Brook Estates Road, Walnut Shade, Missouri, off of State Highway 176. It's in the Jasper Township, Section 21, Township 24, Range 21, and this is essentially the property in question. Here's the existing platted phases, or the first two platted phases of Oak Brook Estates. The request, the applicant, TriSun's Properties, is seeking a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2, required improvements of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations, regarding the requirement that A, unless otherwise approved by the Planning Commission, all streets shall be public streets, and B, public streets shall be designed and constructed in accordance with the Taney County Road Standards. The applicant initially indicated to the Planning Department office that he was appealing the Planning Administrator's decision regarding the requirement that the segment of Oak Brook Estates Lane, as indicated on the final plat of Oak Brook Estates Phase 3, be constructed in accordance with the Taney County Road Standards. But has since indicated that he is now wishing to seek a variance basically from the aforementioned requirements of the subdivision regulations. The background and history on this, on December 19th, 2005, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 Land Use Permit 2005-54, allowing for the development of basically an approximately 40-acre tract into a 37-lot residential subdivision, later to be referenced as Oak Brook Estates. The original developer of the property was Jeff Pasco. On December 15, 2007, the Taney County Planning Administrator approved the final plat of Oak Brook Estates Phase 1 on behalf of the Taney County Planning Commission. This final plat was filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office, creating a 6-lot residential subdivision to be served by a community well, and also a MDNR, permitted wastewater treatment plant. At the time of this plat approval, the Taney County Road Standards at that time were cited as Appendix H of the Development Guidance Code. Per the provisions of the road standards in effect in 2007, the minimum requirements for residential streets basically was for a gravel surface, as denoted in Table 9, the minimum design standards for highways, roads, and streets. On July 16, 2009, the Taney County Commission adopted the Taney County, Missouri Road Standards. This standalone set of standards was developed in order to provide the minimum criteria for the construction of roads within Taney County. Per the provisions of Table 2.3, road surfacing, of the road standards, basically any lot size of less than 2 acres, they are to be constructed with either an asphalt or a concrete surface. In November of 2010, Tri-Sons Properties purchased the unplatted portion of the property that had originally received land use approval via Division 3 Permit Number 2554 for the remainder of the, basically the remaining, the remainder of this 40-acre tract of land, including the wastewater treatment plant and well lot. On November 19, 2012, the special warranty deed in question was filed with the Recorder of Deeds office. On October 28, 2011, the Taney County Planning Administrator approved the final plat of Oakbrook Estates Phase 2 on behalf of the Planning Commission. This final plat was filed with the Recorder of Deeds office, creating an additional 4 lots within the residential subdivision. In 2011, at the time of that plat approval, the Taney County Road Standards were found both in Appendix H of the Development Guidance Code and also as a standalone Taney County Road Standards. Per the provisions of Appendix H, the minimum requirements for residential streets were for a gravel road surface. The final plat was therefore approved with a gravel street serving the 4 lots in question. On July 19, 2012, the Taney County Commission amended Appendix L, which had formerly been Appendix H, or the road standards in the Development Guidance Code, via an advertised public hearing process upon a recommendation of the Planning Commission. Basically, this amendment removed the road and access standards from the Development Guidance Code and referenced the current published standards set forth in the road standards, in the standalone road standards. On July 19, 2012, the County Commission adopted the Taney County Subdivision Regulations via order, resulting in the separation and removal of the subdivision regulations from the Development Guidance Code. And basically from July 19, 2012 forward, the standalone set of subdivision regulations governed subdivision of land, including specific requirements for plats within the unincorporated portion of Taney County. On March 28, 2013, the Taney County Planning Administrator approved the final plat for Oakbrook Estates Phase 3. This final plat was filed with the Recorder of Deeds office, creating an additional 6 lots within the Oakbrook Estates residential subdivision. The applicant provided the Planning Department office with an irrevocable standby letter of credit for the costs associated with the required improvements to that segment of Oakbrook Estates Lane, as required per both the provisions of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations and the Taney County Road Standards. The applicant is now seeking a variance, again, from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2 of the Subdivision Regulations in order to allow the remainder of Oakbrook Estates Lane to be built with a gravel surface. This is actually the final plat of Phase 1 of Oakbrook Estates, and you can see Oakbrook Estates coming in from State Highway 176. This was the original 6 lots. Basically, this is Phase 2, which created an additional 4 lots, and now we've recently approved Phase 3, which platted an additional 6 lots. Like I said, the subject property is both the property platted as Oak Brook Estates Phase 3 and also essentially the meets and bounds remainder. The applicant has indicated that he's seeking a variance from both the subdivision regulations and the road standards for the remainder of the property to be platted as future phases of the Oak Brook Estates subdivision. And for whatever reason, it didn't really highlight this, but we've got just a north, south, east, and west view of the property. In review, the applicant initially indicated to the planning department office that he was appealing the decision of the planning administrator requiring construction of that portion of Oak Brook Estates Lane, as shown within Oak Brook Estates Phase 3, to be built in compliance with the provisions of the road standards. However, as I've indicated, the applicant is now stated that he's seeking a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2 of the subdivision regulations in order to allow for the remaining phases of Oak Brook, of the Oak Brook Estate subdivision to be served by a gravel road. The approval of the final plats, basically of Oak Brook Estates Phases 1 and 2, each fell under the provisions of Table 9, Appendix H, or essentially the road standards that were in the code book at the time, which just required residential streets to be built to a minimum standard of having a gravel surface. Therefore, Oak Brook Estates Lane met the minimum requirements at the time of the platting of the first two phases. However, as of July 19, 2012, upon the adoption of the Taney County subdivision regulations, the approval of any final plat, including Oak Brook Estates Phase 3, is governed by the provisions of the subdivision regulations. And Article 8, Section 2 basically states, first off, that unless otherwise approved by the Planning Commission, all streets shall be public streets. And then secondly, with Item B, it basically just states that public streets shall be designed and constructed in accordance with the Taney County Road Standards. Therefore, deviations from this requirement would be looked upon as a variance from the provisions of both the subdivision regulations and the road standards. Section 2, Table 2.3 of the Road Standards requires all new roads serving lots less than 2 acres to be constructed with either an asphalt or concrete surface. Per the same provision, graveled surface roads are basically just allowed for lots greater than 5 acres in size. Per the provisions of Section 3 of the Road Standards, all design requirements will be strictly adhered to unless written justification for a design variance is presented to and approved by Taney County prior to plat approval. The section further states that should a request for design variance occur after plat approval and this causes nonconformance with the plat, the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Taney County Commission will have to approve the amendment to the plat. In signing the plat for Oak Brook Estates Phase 3, Mr. Creedon has certified that all streets and other improvements shown on this plat have been installed or completed, or that their installation or completion has been assured by the posting of a performance bond or sufficient surety. And in this case, the bond amount was based upon the road in question being built with an asphalt surface in compliance with the Taney County Road Standards. The applicant has indicated the following as the reasoning for his request. Basically, in this economy, there's no way to continue with improvements on this subdivision if I pave with 5 inches of asphalt. I therefore request all Oak Brook Estates be granted gravel roads. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a variance from the provisions of Article 8, Section 2 of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations, allowing for the construction of Oak Brook Estates Lane with a gravel surface. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've got just a brief video. We went ahead. This actually is not a part of the road in question. This is actually the entrance to Oak Brook Estates. And we basically just did a quick video driving into the subdivision. Sorry about that. I'm not sure how to forward this.
That's fine.
But
Benita must be driving.
But basically, the initial area is phase one and two. And as we come in, and then phase three just essentially is where the road dead ends here.
All right, thank you. For those that would like to speak, would you please rise and raise your right hand? And Mr. Axley, would I also ask for you to stand since you're part of this appeal? You promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Creedon?
Hello.
You have the floor, sir.
I don't want the floor. basically, what has happened is phase one and phase two are approved as gravel roads. I recently paved the roads with 2 inches of asphalt, which is why they look brand new. I think we did it in November. In budgeting the project, I budgeted paving with 2 inches of asphalt through phase one and phase two, and hopefully to continue with 2 inches of asphalt through any and all phases. When I purchased the property, and before I purchased it, I purchased it from a bank through foreclosure. I got with the administrator that was here at the time, which was Eddie Coxey. He told me that there would be no paving because, you know, it hasn't been paved. It's an approved project. We haven't changed the number of lots or anything that we're putting in it. We're not exceeding that. I think they were originally platted around 3/4 to 1 acre lots. We've kind of dedicated about 16 acres through the middle of it as just green space, and then we're just building on the better property around the perimeter. And the reason for part of that is the cost of putting in sewer and water and paving and anything else that you do, it was twice as much street. So we kind of narrowed it down and gave the green space. And there's just 5 inches of asphalt is a lot. If a gravel road is put in right, which I believe we've done a pretty good job, except for one spot in phase three that's got to be repaired. But phase three is currently paved with 2 inches of asphalt. And I was by total shock when I went in and they telling me that It had to be paved with 5 inches of asphalt, and it basically, I mean, it's enough with the cost of the water and sewer that has to be put in to not be able to afford to continue to develop out there, because there are many lots throughout town that I can buy way cheaper than I can develop. And that's basically it. I mean, there's a sewer plant for about 40 lots, and there's a water tower for 40 lots, and I mean,
okay. Any questions? As the report indicated, phase one and two was already established, and you don't have any part of that.
I recorded phase two.
Yeah.
Phase one I had no part of.
Right.
I built on one of the empty lots in there. That's it.
Okay.
When did you record phase two?
Yeah. I think he said October 2011. Yeah. November?
Yeah.
October? October 2011.
So at that time, the gravel or the 2-inch of asphalt were sufficient, was it not?
It was just gravel.
Basically, you can do more than just gravel.
Right.
Exactly.
We just put the 2 inches of asphalt down the end of December, end of November last year. I mean, I budgeted it as part of phase three and phase two. And
do you live out there?
No, I don't. Everybody likes the 2 inches of pavement. Don't get me wrong. Way better than the gravel, and we didn't. The little cul-de-sac, we didn't pave that. That has 3 or 4 houses on it. 3 houses in phase one. We just did the main road in.
All right.
And one thing I didn't say in the report, I wouldn't have a problem with it being even approved as 2 inches of asphalt, because that is how I have the project budgeted. I mean, that is how we've planned it, but 5 inches is a lot, and if you want Randy with Road and Bridge to inspect the road before we pave, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Any further questions?
So you'd be willing to do 2 inches?
That's our plan. So, I mean, we've budgeted it that way. 5 inches is it's a lot more money.
What's the speed limit through there, and you know, where's the major breaking points? Where, I mean, is it like 15 mile an hour zone or whatever?
We don't have it marked, so I don't know that there is a.
Now, would you include the cul-de-sac on the 2 inches if you did that?
We don't have anything to do with that phase.
Okay.
We paid to do the main road coming in. As the developer, the homeowners chipped in $4,800 towards a $40,000 road. So we spent the other $36,000 on paving the 2 inches all the way into there. And that included part of phase three. I think phase three was $7,500 to add 3 more inches. How many feet of road was it? 340, 330?
Something right around there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see that it gets pretty pricey when you start looking at almost another $2,000 a lot. Is that right? 6 into 75? No. $1,500 a lot. Something like that. I don't know. My math's not good today.
Bob, you're just following the guidelines set forth in the standards for road design that was enacted by the Tane County Commission in 2012.
Yes. So basically, we don't have any requirements, additional requirements on phase one or phase two, because they've already been platted. But per the new subdivision regulations, they basically require anything that's currently being platted to meet the new standards.
So that's our relative policy. Okay.
Even though that...
Technically...
It's not platted. It's been platted in phases instead of... The whole project wasn't platted to begin with.
Yeah.
What we're saying. So all of a sudden here in the middle of it, we're going to go from...
Basically gravel approved to 5 inches of asphalt.
Yeah. Are we allowed to say 2 inches? I mean...
Why don't we discuss that in our meeting?
Yes, sir.
Or you can answer that, Bob, because you know what the answer.
I mean, it would really, the board has the ability to...
It falls within our authority.
It does fall within your authority in granting the variance.
If it's granted, yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Hang around or leave?
Better stick around. Yeah, sit down. Okay. Brian Kassenbaum? Kassenbaum? Why don't you spell that for the record?
Okay. Kossibom.
Thank you.
And I'm just here as a homeowner in the subdivision. I really didn't have any clue as to what this appeal was about. And after listening in, I'm in phase one, so phase three wouldn't necessarily affect me. However, you know, it is in the same subdivision that I share. And to be clear, there was a special assessment for the first paving, in which phase one and two and three all chipped in to get the road paved. We had a meeting. We all agreed, you know, that this is what we would do, and even without the cul-de-sac being done. What I was hearing first off is that where the asphalt stops now would turn in to gravel, or could be gravel, but then that the developer is thinking about or talking about laying another 2 inches versus 5 inches of asphalt. The concern for me as a homeowner in the subdivision is having going to from asphalt when you first enter the subdivision, seeing an unpaved gravel cul-de-sac, following the asphalt down another, you know, five lots long and stopping again and going back to gravel or something, and just find that, you know, again, I'm just trying to absorb all this right now, this being the first I've heard of it, but just don't know that that would be, you know, the most appealing thing for that subdivision. That's really all I had.
Appreciate your comments and your interest. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Can I make a comment to
that? No, but I would like to ask you question, though, and then you can comment.
Okay.
Come back up to the podium, Stephen.
Okay.
Per the report that was presented, you actually did agree with the conditions of the new development code, and you can put up a security bond.
I put it up to get the plat recorded to not lose this year at building houses.
Okay. And then the additional cost is what prompted you to come here.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think we planned this and set it up for this and went ahead with the bond just to kind of continue.
Yep. Okay.
Can I make a comment to Brian's conversation?
If it would add to it.
Phase 2 and Phase 3 did not contribute to the paving other than through the cost of, you know, future construction. There's only... I think one homeowner in phase two right now.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll close the public portion now so we can deliberate.
My concern with gravel or 2 inches asphalt is just deterioration of the road. I mean, 2 inches can buckle a lot, but that would be on a really busy street. But you're going to run into problems with... Because if they're coming off of asphalt on the gravel, you're going to have a pretty rough section of gravel right there from all the braking. That's my concern.
The overall thing is here is we're going in... not in the middle, but say there are phase, between phase three and phase four, or phase two and phase three, whichever way you want to, from our old code to a new code. So right now, this first section and the first two or three sections is actually underneath the old code, which has actually a different easement width and everything else.
Don't we update codes to improve situations?
Well, what I'm saying is, though, it's a whole different, we're going from our old easement widths, asphalt, the whole nine yards, to phase three here, and now we're going to widen it all out and thicken it all up and all that right in the middle of the project.
Mark?
Mr. Chairman, you know, in this case, you know, I see a certain continuity, you know, with the 2 inches of asphalt to the existing, you know, subdivision. I guess the question I have is, can we go from an appeal to a variance and have it stand? And maybe Bob or Dave can answer that.
Can he change?
Well, he's making appeal against the development code.
No, he's changed it to a variance request.
That's what I understood.
I don't think so. He's still appealing Bob's decision based upon the development code that has to be 5 inches of asphalt. Doesn't make ask whether it's a variance or not. The decision was made per the development code, so we still have an appeal, not a variance request, in my opinion.
So we go with the original filing, it's an appeal, because that changes the rules.
No, it doesn't change the rules at all. We just have an appeal based upon the development code.
Well, the appeal is to say either
I know what
yes or no, and with a variance request you can alter the conditions of the code. With an appeal, we can't. It's either to approve or deny the appeal. There's no alterations to the code, correct?
There's no alterations to a relative policy, in my opinion. If it's a relative policy, that's the reason the code should be adhered to, not to be deviated from.
I understand that, but we grant variances on easements. We grant variances on setback lines in certain situations. That's changing relative policies, correct?
No. You think it changes relative policies?
I don't think it changes relevant policies. I think it gives a variance in that case for a specific hardship that is unique to that property.
Okay. What's the difference?
To me, the difference is the bar you have to jump over. It's different for an appeal.
That's what I'm trying to get at. If it's an appeal, we can't make any adjustments to the road. We can't make any variances on, it's either he has to do 5 inches or he has to do gravel on the appeal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or improve it from gravel to what he's got, which is 2 inches right now. It's a minimum standard of gravel.
I thought it was 5 inches.
No. You're saying the gravel was in before. All I'm saying is he also put asphalt in addition to gravel. He upgraded on his own.
Right.
Which he has the ability to do.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. But as Tom was stating, we're dealing with a whole new section, a whole new code, a whole new set of rules.
All because it's being replatted. He didn't plat the whole thing in the subdivision at that time. He's platting phases.
I'm not trying to be difficult.
I understand.
Just,
if he had platted this whole thing out,
there wouldn't be this issue.
Probably wouldn't be that issue.
No.
Okay.
So is it an appeal or a variance?
Well, we need to vote on whether we have to vote on the appeal process right now. Unless Mr. Creedon would want to withdraw his appeal process right this time and come back in with a variance request. We can't change it from
this. This was a variance request when we talked about it.
You filed it as an appeal.
I had originally understood that it was an appeal.
Okay, and then
after contacting you, at that point I...
And then he asked me to clarify it 2.5-3 weeks ago, and I clarified it as a variance.
If you want
me to come back in a month,
the paperwork says appeal. The paperwork says appeal, so that's what we have to go by.
And was it?
It had a box to check. I didn't check either one. He called me and asked me, and I go with the variance. Neither box was checked on the paper. Same paperwork.
So was there a clerical issue?
It's kind of complicated.
Oh,
and that was part of.
If you want to look at it as an appeal and you want me to come back as a variance, that's fine.
Then you'd have to withdraw his appeal, correct?
No, we don't have to withdraw.
No, he would have to withdraw his appeal.
Before we make a decision?
Before we make a decision, he'd have to withdraw his appeal, correct?
He has that right, I presume.
Can he withdraw it and
come back
to the variance
yes.
tonight?
No.
No.
Has to be publicized as a variance request.
We publicize as an appeal,
and
also need to be clarified as
yes.
to what yes. the variance
and it was
asking for is exactly.
It was advertised as an appeal because
okay, so
our initial understanding was
clarify,
that it was an appeal.
If this gentleman here wants to withdraw his appeal before we make a decision, he can then refile as a variance. Am I correct?
Is it because the appeal is only addressing... Never
mind,
I
got, I didn't remember. Am I
correct? Bob, what would you do in answer David's question?
Rephrase it or restate it. If the gentleman in question, the appeal we're hearing, if he was to withdraw his appeal before we make an official decision, can he refile as a variance and come back and see us?
I don't see why he couldn't. I mean, I honestly don't. I think we would probably need to basically re-advertise the variance for next month.
Basically start over.
Mr. Chairman.
Mark.
That sounds like a doable way to look at this situation, because I have a different feeling towards an appeal when I do a variance because of what our criteria is. And so Mr. Creedon can understand it. You have to have an error of law or a mistake by the administration on an appeal, whereas hardships and there's other categories that we can look at on a variance. And it was advertised as an appeal, so I assumed that we were hearing an appeal today.
Right.
So, ball's in your court. I would say we redo the meeting and come back.
Would you like to withdraw your appeal?
Sure.
Can you just state that so we... It's not.
Yes, I would like to withdraw the appeal.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
I'm not sure which chairman is speaking here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, boss.
I was going to suggest that we make a motion that we accept the withdrawal of the appeal.
All right. Would you be a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Since you want to vote, Mark, how would you vote?
Yes, to drop the appeal. The appeal is withdrawn.
Okay. Tony?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Chairman, likewise. Thank you. We'll republicize this, and you'll have to recontact Mr. Adsley, or does he have to come back in at this time?
My thought really was just to, as long as the applicant doesn't have an issue with it, to essentially just re-advertise this as a variance request and to mark it on the paperwork as a variance request.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll be back to get your
question. We have the minutes of the last meeting in, it was in March, I guess it was.
Yes, sir.
Need approval.
Move to approve as type.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any negatives? Passes. You got old and new business down there, Bob?
I just have one item. Last month it had come up under old and new business. An issue had come up concerning the Hollister Recycling Center. And since that time, we have actually gone out and visited with those folks. We also contacted the property owner. And what we found is the building was constructed in 1975, and it's really been everything from basically a bread company to stove manufacturing, church, ground source heat and cooling sales, a gun shop, and a carpet store. The approach that I took on this was basically I went to the Planning Commission under old new business to see if they felt like this was a significant change of use, if they felt a Division III permit would be required. It was the opinion of the Planning Commission, they didn't see this as a significant change of use since we had had a number of uses over a fairly long period of time. But since this had come up under old and new business at the last Board of Adjustment meeting, I just felt maybe I should report back.
Well, I appreciate that because I didn't know if they needed to make a permit request to have a change to that or not.
Well,
if you drive down the road about another quarter of a mile, you'll see a worse situation in that. Mm-hmm. Trailers and junkyard down there. So,
yeah,
you know, this may be even better improvement than what's down the road.
Might get rid of some of that down the road. Yeah. Or switch positions.
Can you sell that one?
It's a lease option. Maybe I have. I'd be abstaining if this comes before us. But I can tell you, it's better than the gun shop, because I went back in there. They had a gun range in the building, and I saw some holes through the wall.
Oh, nice.
Holy cow.
That 50 caliber hole.
Can I move we adjourn?
Any new business that come to force?
That's all I've really got.
Okay. Moved. Anybody second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.